Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Soundcheck New York, which explores Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. I am here with Arts Services Incorporated, sometimes referred to or mostly referred to as ASI, and I'm here with Jen Swan, who is the executive director.
Hi, Dan. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And I'm also here with Holly Grant, who is the Grants and Programming Director.
Hello. Thank you.
That's ASI, and their website is asiwny.org. ASI is an organization that empowers the region's artists and arts organizations with connections to funding, learning opportunities, and community access to the arts. ASI is a resource hub for the Western New York arts and cultural sector. They enhance and contribute to the rich cultural sector of Western New York, and they support a thriving industry. In addition to that, they are committed to creating equitable access for the arts within our community by ensuring that programming, advocacy, and services are representative of our entire community. I had an incredible time talking to Jen and Holly today and learned so much about what their organization offers. Please check them out at asiwny.org. I hope you enjoy the episode. For a person who might be encountering ASI for the first time, how might you describe the organization?
Yeah, so ASI, we've actually been around for 10 years, and we are essentially a resource and service center for those working in the arts. So it could be individual artists doing their own practice. We also work a lot with nonprofit arts and cultural organizations, helping them through all of their operations and activities. So we're really here as that resource center and hub for anything that they need assistance with to be successful in their artistic career.
On a cursory view of your website, some of the words that were really exciting to me were words like funding and learning opportunities and community access. And I think that when you say that you really offer everything for an artist or an arts organization, you're really not kidding.
Yeah. We do have a lot of programs and services that can range really the different phase that an artist or an arts organization is in. There's a lot of different size and scope organizations. We actually serve the 5-county Western New York region. So within those 5 counties, there's various artists working in different artistic disciplines. There's various organizations. Some are all volunteer based. Some have a staff of 50 or more. It really just ranges, you know, where they're at and where they need that assistance. And so we have, over the last 10 years, really modified and reflected based on the need of the field, what they say they need, where they need help. And then that's where we create our different programs and services that Holly runs the majority of those.
You know, I think one thing that really resonated with me as you were speaking about that too, is that ASI is really here for all arts organizations, be it seems like ones that perhaps are just starting out to arts organizations that are really established. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, typically we see, you know, a lot more response from, I guess, what we call, you know, micro, small to mid-size organizations. Those are the range of organizations that typically need that additional outside support, whether it's connections to funding, going through best practices, like how to build a budget, how do I apply for a grant, you know, how do I put my own programs and services together? And we usually see response from them, but we do work with organizations that are well-established, have a lot of resources as well, as we do a lot of either, you know, promotion of the sector, you know, why are the arts important? Why is Western New York arts important? And then also advocacy on various different levels as well.
I think it's important to say that when people think of the arts, they may not even realize how expansive the arts industry is. What are some of the artistic practices and organizations that are here in Western New York?
That is a loaded question. There are quite a few, you know, but if I had to kind of estimate a number, you know, just thinking about the 5 counties, I mean, that's a huge scope right there. You know, with City of Buffalo being pretty active in Erie County, and then you look at Niagara Falls in Niagara County, Jamestown in Chautauqua, you know, the artistic disciplines range from literary, performance, you know, visual. If you can pick kind of a creative discipline out of a hat, you name it, we probably have it here in Western New York. One of the most recent things we've been seeing too is this conversation about traditional and non-traditional art and what that means. So a lot of times you'll see organizations and artists representing the traditional arts, like the ones I just mentioned, but then also, you know, looking at non-traditional, like maybe, you know, it's still visual arts, but maybe it's tattoo art, maybe it's graphic design, where when we talk about, especially the nonprofit arts community, people don't think about those art forms. So Western New York has all of that and probably a million more that I'm missing. And on the same token, you know, thinking about the size and scope again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, just that micro, small, mid and large organizations, they all offer something different. They all have unique roles in the community. You know, some may have education programs where they work with school-age children. Some may not do that at all, and they may only focus on maybe working with a senior population or immigrant population. You know, it really just depends on what their mission is. And that's part of our mission at Art Services, is to recognize whatever they're doing and help them succeed at whatever their mission is. So it could go in a lot of different directions.
Western New York seems to have a significant number of arts organizations. I'm a proud transplant to Western New York. And from my experience, I really feel like there is so much in Western New York. But what do you think makes Western New York such an incredible artistic hub?
I think there's a couple of different reasons for that. You know, I've been at ASI since we started 10 years ago, and I've been involved with the arts for years prior to that as well. And it's interesting to see the evolution of how the community views the arts and how the community participates in the arts. And with the Western New York arts community, what we've been seeing is the support not only from individuals and those in the community saying, I've either moved here because there already is such a great arts landscape. There's a lot to do. Those who maybe even have never been involved with the arts or never even associated with the arts or thought the arts were for them. We see a lot of times in when businesses come here, when they choose Western New York to locate their business, they may say, okay, I'm moving my family's here. I'm moving myself here. I'm going to work 9 to 5 or whatever it is. What do I do after work, right? What can I tap into? What can I be involved with? And so I think that kind of incubator and cultivation of the arts in Western New York has happened for such a long time that it keeps evolving and expanding, that it gives people that option. So people want to move here, live here. They know that activity is here. And then just really looking at the arts from multiple different angles. You know, it could be somebody's career. You know, for Holly and I, it's our career. This is what we do for a living, right? So it's supporting us in what we want to do and why we live and work here. For others, you know, they may say, I want to send my kid to this school and I want to make sure they have after school activities, and that may involve the arts. So I think depending on, you know, what exactly you're looking for, the arts can provide different outlets for you. And because we have that variety of arts organizations and artists doing that work, that gives other people a reason to really build out this Western New York community.
One of the things that came up within your answer was the idea of community. And I always feel like one of the reasons to get involved with the arts or consume the arts or observe the arts or anything like that is because I think that, to me, art is always directly connected to some kind of community. But I'm sort of wondering, so I think that we've kind of talked about the importance of having an artistic community, but I'm wondering, how do the arts impact and create a healthy community at large, right? There are artistic communities that people are involved in that give them a sense of purpose and a sense of, you know, meaning within their lives, but how does that affect the greater community of Western New York?
I think it really speaks to quality of life. So it, as Jen mentioned, it provides something to do, entertainment. It enhances education. If you think about the impact of arts in education programs, arts in the classroom, arts in education integrated into lessons, I think that's really how the support is. It also, I mean, if you want to think about it from an economic standpoint, draws in tourism. So you have people coming into the community, supporting local restaurants, hotels, all these other ancillary industries. So I think that it really supports the entire community through multiple channels.
Yeah, if I could just add to that too, with the economic piece, I'd be remiss if I didn't include this about ASI, but one of our other programs and services that we do on behalf of the field is that we, every handful of years, we work with Americans for the Arts to produce an Arts and Economic Prosperity Report. And that is a collective of the five counties of Western New York, specifically looking at the nonprofit arts groups and their economic impact, looking at it from both the organization perspective and then also looking at it from an audience perspective. And to Holly's point earlier, you know, looking at audience members, you know, they're going, they might have to pay an admission fee, a ticket, an admission, what have you, but maybe they're going out to dinner, maybe they're paying for a babysitter, maybe they're paying for public transit, kind of just looking at all of those ripple effects that the arts can have, because the arts are a viable economic engine. And, you know, if this was probably 20, 25 years ago, a lot of people didn't think that way. You know, it was kind of like, oh, the arts exist. That's something fun that I do on the side. It's something ancillary. It's a luxury to do that. But really, it's a thriving industry that I think really makes Western New York a really strong environment to be in for a variety of different reasons.
We may have covered this, but I think it's important to ask, why do we need the arts in Western New York?
I mean, besides all the obvious answers we've already said, I do think it is quality of life. It does. It's what brings people here. Like Jen mentioned, when businesses are looking to come in and bring employees in, they want to know what they can do. But also it is an economic driver. I feel like it just supports all facets of the social and economic vitality of our region.
Yeah. And on top of that too, you know, I think the arts gives an extra boost, regardless of who you are or what you're doing in the community, you know, whether it's your full-time career and job and passion and love in life, or if it's something where this is something I do on the weekends, or if you don't even realize that you're engaging with the arts, you know, and you might be going to workshops and saying, hey, I'm learning how to knit or sew. And then you come to realize like, that's an art too. Like that is an art form. I just think it you know, offers option and option to people and families to enrich their lives in whatever way they see fit. And it makes us all well-rounded individuals and active, engaged citizens in a lot of different ways. It's a really amazing place. And I think for people who live here and leave, they realize it pretty quickly after they leave that what they're missing from here in relation to arts and culture. And for those who have never lived here before and moved here, they realize it because it's just, there's always something, right? There's always something on any given day, on any given weekend. And it's so diverse too on top of it, which is really exciting. Yeah, it's really unique compared to other places for sure.
I mean, even thinking about summer art festivals or summer festivals, even if you're not directly connected to the arts industry specifically, there is a different festival every weekend all summer long. So there's always something to do that's culture related or arts related.
I would love to know about the funding for organizations in Western New York. How are organizations kind of across the board, maybe for a listener that has no idea of how arts organizations are funded, how are they funded?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no kind of one size fits all, but, you know, if you kind of look at the operations, you know, if we take it from a nonprofit arts and cultural standpoint, you know, typically they have their own earned income that they do. So if you think of a theater, they sell tickets to each of their performances. You think of a museum or gallery, they may charge for admission. So that's one part of it. There's also a larger part that is tied into fundraising and what we call development in the nonprofit world. You know, looking for individual donors to donate to the organization if they're a nonprofit. Also holding fundraisers, you know, I'm sure many people have heard all the different galas and fundraisers that take place, you know, across Western New York. That's a good piece for organizations to raise funding. And then there's another piece, which is really tapping into grant funding, which really is you apply to request funding from a certain agency. And that can range a couple of different ways. You know, it could be a government agency that has funding that you can apply to. It could be a local foundation or a philanthropic group that is giving away funding as well. Usually those all come with paperwork and applying and kind of vetting and explaining, here's our mission, here's what we do, here's our program and services. So it really just depends, again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the size and scope of the organization and what's their capacity to tap into those different kinds of funding.
For our listeners, I'm wondering, most organizations or most sort of any organization that's sort of artistic in some way usually sort of sells tickets. How much of the operating budget for any given organization is really funded or fueled by ticket sales?
I think it depends on the organization. I'm trying to think, maybe some of the smaller organizations might have bring in more money through earned revenue because they don't have the capacity to seek contributed as much. But I think it really depends on the organization, their structure. There are some museums and galleries that have gift shops, so they're bringing in earned revenue that way as well.
Well, certainly, but I guess in my experience, and perhaps I could be wrong and I stand to be corrected, but most organizations cannot sort of rely on ticket sales alone to complete or to have an operating budget. Am I correct in that estimation?
It depends, because there are some for-profit venues, music venues, dance companies, stuff like that, that do rely entirely on earned revenue. So it depends on how they're set up.
Thank you for the clarification. For the, let's say, organizations that are not nonprofit organizations, organizations that are not for-profit, how does state, regional, and private funding impact those organizations?
Yeah, so those organizations, actually, that's an interesting question when you kind of look at their earned revenue too, because it's almost expected, you know, just kind of any kind of budget planning, if you think about it, right, you want to be well diversified, right? You don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket. So you don't really want to put all of your eggs in your, you know, in your ticket sales and your admissions, because say something like a pandemic happens and you can't sell tickets and you don't have admissions, you really need some other options to diversify that. And so that's really where some of that other funding comes into play to help out. You know, it's not meant to be the sole contributor to float the boat for an organization, but, you know, just depending on your activities, I'll use ASI as an example, but we're kind of an anomaly in this situation. You know, we don't produce artistic productions. So we actually really heavily rely on grant funding, government funding, and those partnerships, because we are serving on behalf of those organizations and those artists that are producing arts programs and events and activities in the community. So yeah, you can take a couple different approaches if you are a nonprofit arts organization looking for funding in that way. New York State has a lot of funding options, specifically the New York State Council on the Arts. They're very dedicated to the arts specifically. There's also federal, so National Endowment for the Arts. There's local, with a lot of our local foundations that place their priorities on the arts. So you can kind of approach those in a couple of different ways and piece together your operating budget through that, saying, okay, let's see what kind of works within that priority area and see who we can partner with to continue doing that in addition to admissions and ticket sales.
I also think, as I kind of understood this more, as I got more involved within arts organizations, the more responsibility or the more kind of desire that I had to donate specifically to those arts organizations, because sometimes I felt, I think when I was younger, that, well, I like this organization and I'm buying a ticket. And sometimes I felt like, well, that should be enough, right? Where it actually isn't enough to really keep these organizations flourishing, keep their missions moving forward. Would you mind speaking on that for a moment?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. Often the cost of a ticket or admission is just covering the cost of them producing whatever performance, concert, exhibition. You're kind of offsetting their costs and doing that. Maybe there's a slight surplus that they're receiving, but it's not covering the general day-to-day operations, just their staffing costs, their rent, their to keep the lights on, their electric and gas, the water running, garbage pickup, all these boring mundane things that people don't think about. All of those donations and grants help cover that so that they can produce the art that people can interact with.
On the website, I saw a figure, I believe, for either state or funding that happened, and that was the $900,000 that was given to arts organizations over the last year. It looks like this figure is correct, so you're nodding, so I think it is correct. Is this a large or small amount for Western New York?
I believe that's just what we give out through our different grant programs. So that would have been for the 2020 calendar year, which we re-granted some funding to through NISCA, the New York State Council on the Arts. We have a statewide community re-grants program where we support small community-based projects, our Give for Greatness grant program for small to mid-sized organizations, the Emergency Relief Fund that we did in 2020. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a whole lot. There's definitely a lot more money that has gone into the arts community, but that was just our impact that we were able to give out.
I mean, from where I stand, if I may, that feels like an incredible amount of money to be given out, right? And so perhaps the grand scheme of things, right? Maybe it's not, but I think that it's so exciting to be involved in a city of Buffalo size or in Western New York to think, wow, that money was given out by your organization. And that's, I think, incredible, right? I don't know that our listeners would necessarily know that that was available or given out. And it feels very enlivening to me.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be able to support as much as we do through this grant funding.
I understand that some grant funds might be from private organizations. Some might be from, you mentioned, like the National Endowment for the Arts. I know that there is a legislative component to this. Why do you think our legislative officials feel that arts funding is so important in Western New York?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. That's actually one of the other pieces of work that we like to do is having those conversations with, you know, at every level of elected officials, whether it's city, state, federal level, really just talking about, you know, some of the things that we touched on earlier, how the arts can make a community such a vibrant place, has an economic impact. It really depends on the elected official and actually which district they're serving. And I think that's part of the uniqueness of Western New York too, where, you know, we have this span of five counties that we're looking at. Every county is unique and different, but also brought together under this Western New York banner. You know, you think about city and suburbs and rural and the different kinds of art forms and the different kinds of needs and communities that the arts is really touching upon and working with. And I think for elected officials, it's just, you know, who are my constituents and how can I best serve them? If some arts programs are a part of that, then they most definitely would like to support that. Usually from our end at ASI, you know, we take a look at thinking about, number one, how can more funding be put into these different funding streams, whether it's federal, state, county, city, to then be dispersed out to the different arts groups and programs so that it can benefit those residents and citizens who live here. But it's also just general talking points about why the arts are important and why we need them in our community. And so I think a lot of elected officials, you know, once they have that information and that data, then they start to realize the connection between the arts and the districts that they serve and the residents that live there too.
I believe you have this figure, and I'm interested to know, how many full-time jobs are created by the arts in Western New York?
We do have that number. So it's 10,000 full-time equivalent jobs. And actually, those stats, they come from that report that we did, Arts and Economic Prosperity, that we did back in 2017. So it is a little dated. However, we are currently working on collecting data right now for a revised report. And so thinking about, again, the five counties, the organizations that employ individuals to work there, if they have paid staff members, and then also artists as well. This isn't touched upon as much in this report that we do, but there's that whole side of artists running their own businesses, right? They have sole proprietorships, they have partnerships, they have LLCs, right? So those are economic engines too. So hopefully once we come out with the new report, which will be released in 2023, we'll see how that number has jumped since 2017. So we're really excited to see the results of that.
The 2017 report is available on the website?
It is. Yep. We have everything on there. And we even have, if you're an arts organization listening to this, there's even a calculator on the website where you could go and use the calculator and figure out your own economic impact as well.
That is very exciting. And I'd love to know, because I did look at the report and I found it to be very enlivening and very exciting. Through the findings, what do you find enlivening or exciting about the report or seeing the information that the report gives?
I think for me, it's just affirming what I feel like I already knew. Just putting it in numbers and being like, yes, that supports my beliefs in the value of the arts industry.
Yeah, I'm always, every time I say the number that the Western New York arts community is a $352 million economic engine, like I say that and I go, did I just say that number with an M, with a million? That's what I said, you know, and that's that's actually really exciting to me because it brings everything together, kind of this one clean number where you're like, wow, that's an impact number.
I think what I'm hearing and as I'm speaking to you, what I'm learning about ASI is that I think that there's this incredible, I want to call it like a layer cake of really understanding the numbers and the practicality of all arts organizations while still having an incredible sort of respect and helping these arts organizations flourish within their given discipline or medium. And I think that it's incredible to have an organization like that in Western New York that sort of really understands both sides. I will confess that I am an artist and I think that sometimes, you know, my brain can be a little bit more, I'll say right-brained, in thinking of concepts or things like that, but it's incredible to have an organization that understands and has a respect for that right-brainedness while helping with the practicality and things, everything that's sort of by the numbers.
Yeah, one of the things, at least I say here a lot is, you know, we're nothing without those who are the creative side of it, right? That's who we're representing, that's who we're helping. We love the fact that artists and arts organizations have their artistic and creative vision. And yes, that is what we need, right? That is why we exist. That's why we're here. But then on the flip side, it's like, okay, you want to be sustainable. You want to make this work. Maybe you want this to be your full-time gig or career or what have you. You also need some of those other tools that are maybe not as exciting and creative as, you know, doing your artistic work, but you need it, right? You need it to sustain and help get your art out there to the masses. And so we love to balance that here because that's actually everything that it's about.
What might happen if Western New York didn't have such a vibrant arts community? How might the city be different? Or how might this sort of region be different, really?
Hard to know. I would think that people would leave the area, maybe look for opportunities outside the region. We'd see a population decline is my best guess.
And I'll add to that and say, I would be a testament to that, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, and just quick kind of side story, but I like to share this story with people because it's real. You know, I went through the UB Arts Management program and got my master's degree in arts management because I always knew that I wanted to be on the administrative side of the arts. But what I always said along the way was, man, there's not really a lot here. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to go to LA. I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to go here. But by the time I got out of that program, I was already involved with so many local arts organizations. I thought, that'd be crazy for me to leave. Like, look at all this potential. And even then, which was 15 some years ago, it wasn't as vibrant as it is even today. It just grew bigger and better. And I'm so glad that I stayed because it created an environment that I could help, right? And that I could take my kind of business skills and apply that to. And I think Holly is right. You know, if we didn't have those opportunities, the arts opportunities, a lot of businesses wouldn't come here. A lot of people would leave. It gives that other extra, this is what's so special about the Western New York community.
ASI has an incredible website that details all that's offered, but I was wondering, could you give us a broad overview of some of the services provided by ASI?
Sure, pretty much everything. we have several grant programs for those who are interested in applying for grants. This includes nonprofits and individuals. And I am the one who runs those. So I do help people with their applications. Anyone who's interested can always reach out to me and I will talk them through it. I'll do draft reviews, help make sure they are as successful as possible. We do professional development. So some free, some low cost trainings on pretty much everything people could need. We try to do as much free as possible, but sometimes there is a slight cost with that. We do bookkeeping services for small organizations who need support with their financial end of things. We also do fiscal sponsorship for individuals who need that. So many foundations or funders will not accept an application from an individual. So individuals can come to us and use our nonprofit status to apply for additional funding. We also do a lot of advocacy, as we've mentioned. So advocating on behalf of the entire arts and cultural sector, educating public officials, foundation reps, the community in general about our impact in everything we do as an industry. And we do have an opportunities, multiple opportunities pages, just helping streamline communications. So if you're looking for a job in the arts, there's all the current postings that we have come across our desk, you know, calls for work, residencies and studios, just kind of anything that people might be looking for.
On your website, I was really inspired to see that ASI envisions a region where inclusive creative communities are valued and visible and has a commitment to creating equitable access to the arts. For a listener that may not be familiar with ASI, could you detail how your organization does this and maybe some of the need for these measures?
Yeah, a lot of that is just through our programming. We will take things out to the community as needed. We develop new programs based on what we're hearing. We also have this great program called Arts Access that eliminates the financial and transportation barriers to some of our lower income residents to allow them to attend arts events. So we have about 50 plus arts and cultural partner organizations who donate tickets to our Arts Access pass holders. The pass is completely free for people to sign up for. They just have to show proof of income-based benefits. So public assistance like SNAP, HEAP, WIC, Medicaid, they just show us that proof. We give them a pass for a year. We also provide transportation, private transportation, accessible if needed, to get them to and from the event if they don't have reliable transportation.
How can people work with or contact ASI?
So we have a couple of different ways. We do have a really great newsletter that goes out weekly so they can get plugged right into the opportunities that are featured on our website, what's going on. So our website, asiwny.org, right there is a lot of the information. But if you really want to dig in, get to know us personally, we have six staff members in total. So depending on what you're interested in, what service, which program, you can reach out to any one of us and be more than happy to help. You know, a lot of times we'll get people who just kind of drop in or give us a call and they say, hey, this is what I do. This is what I'm interested in. Somebody told me to contact you. Can you help me? And so we'll put our heads together to say, okay, you know, do we have a service or program that could help you and connect you with, whether it's through one of Holly's programs, you know, grant funding, or maybe it's something we can't help you with, but we know somebody who can. We'll be more than happy to put you in contact with them and then have those individuals or experts help you out. So we're really all about kind of interconnecting the community in a wider way. It's not just about ASI and what we offer, but it's about how can we build the support system for artists and those working in the arts and point them in the right direction?
This podcast is called Soundcheck, and Soundcheck is the final thing that you're left with before your performance. What would you like to leave us with at the end of this interview?
I would like to leave everyone with, we hope you will call us and email us at ASI and connect with us. If you're already connected to us, thank you. But also, our door is always open. Our door is always open. And we're not just about sitting in our office waiting for you to call us. We're out there in the community too. And we just want to make sure that, you know, it's hard to be everything to everyone, but we want to be there as much as possible. So we'll leave everyone with, you know, if you know someone, connect them, connect us. We'll go out to you. You come to us, whatever. Open door policy at ASI. So we welcome everyone.
Fantastic. Holly, Jen, thank you so much for your time today. It was excellent talking to you. And I hope that many people will utilize ASI's incredible range of services.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
My thanks to Jen Swan and Holly Grant from ASI for this incredible conversation. Please visit their website at asiwny.org. That's asiwny.org. Today's show is produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmaker engineered this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted monthly on buffalorising.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes, where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck New York from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.